Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have a quarter in review. So this is essentially where Leanne and I will go and we'll talk about how our summer quarter went this time for 2023. And we'll just talk about a goal check-in, a couple things that have happened, challenges, highlights, etc.
I know I had a couple different goals. One of them was the just kind of working out consistently goal, which I think has gone really well because I think I mentioned it maybe in the last quarter review because it just started, but the YouTube trainer that I do does a 3-month summer program and I did that this summer. So it was really good because I actually kept with it even though I had a monster of a commute. So I was very proud of that. I was not as good at my stretching. I know at the beginning of the year I wanted to do stretching more regularly because she includes a cool down at the end of her workouts that's a few minutes long. And then after that, some days I just didn't feel like doing something after that. And then on my rest days, sometimes I got lazy and wouldn't do it. Or I would go for a walk and then I was like, well, I don't want to spend more time. So I think I do need to double down on that because I know it's good for your muscles and recovery and also just doing the exercises more effectively. So I think that's something I'll probably try to work on for the upcoming quarter, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think similarly to you, I feel like my working out has been going pretty decently. I think it tends to get sidetracked whenever I go on trips, just because a lot of the times when we go on trips, I feel like there's not really a built-in time to be like, hey, I'm going to intentionally take X amount of time to go and do a specific workout. But on the other hand, I feel like at the same time, a lot of the times if I go on trips, I end up walking a lot. So I feel like it does kind of balance out in a way because it's good to have a variety of different exercises. And walking is still considered an exercise in my book, especially if you can do a lot of it. So I look at that and I think that it's still okay to do that as a form of staying active and staying healthy.
I think what's important is just being active. So I think as long as I moved a sufficient amount in the day, I didn't feel as bad if I didn't do like a quote official workout.
I mean, I think also one thing that, at least for me, gets hard is like, if I'm going on trips with people who I don't see all the time, a lot of the times I feel kind of guilty about like, if I was to carve out like, hey, I'm going to go for a run in the morning for like an hour, because I feel like then I'm kind of wasting their time that we're together. You know what I mean? I don't know. Do you feel this way?
I think my issue is more whenever I'm not in my home environment, because I am a big home workout person, I find it hard to do the workouts. And I think that's what it is for me. Also, I have not been doing as much travel as you have, so I don't really know about how that would affect it. I'm just guessing that I probably wouldn't. Also, I feel like everybody needs a break. I feel like what's a better time than taking a break from it than when you're somewhere else?
That's so true. Also, another thing that I started doing probably in June that I think is kind of fun, but also kind of intense, is my boyfriend and I, we started to do 100 push-ups a day, and we did it all through the entire month of June and through probably about the middle of July. We tried to up it to 125 push-ups a day in July, but then we realized that was just too much. We were like, that's a lot of push-ups. And it takes more time than you would think if you do like 125 push-ups, especially if you like wait till the end of the day and you're like, oh, I have 125 push-ups I need to do. Like 100 push-ups, you could get it done in 10 minutes. 125, your muscles start to burn out and it's not fun. But we were doing 100 push-ups a day and we're still doing it, probably not quite as consistently, but we still try to do it most days now, which I think is really good. And it's just a way to build your strength. So I look at it and even just like small things like that, even if you can just give yourself a challenge of like, I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day and 100 squats a day, like it's pretty good. If you can just give yourself those small little things, even on days where you don't necessarily do a full workout, it still makes you feel like you've accomplished something and you're still working towards that goal.
I think what's nice about that idea is that it doesn't require anything. All you need is your body. Like if you're traveling, you can just as easily do it as when you're at home.
Exactly.
So another goal I dug back into our own outline was that I wanted to stop using my library holds as my TBR list. And I think we've done a pretty good job. Like I mentioned, I had a very long commute this summer, which means lots and lots of audiobooks. So I did keep adding ones, but because of how long it is, I now only have 7 hold requests on my Libby app.
I finally switched over to Libby, which I don't know if you remember. I think I might have told you about this, how I was vehemently anti-Libby.
No.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. Well, I was like vehemently anti-Libby because I had tried Libby out probably 5 years ago. So I'm guessing it was probably in the beginning stages of the Libby app, because we had this Overdrive library app and then we had the Libby app and they were trying to get everybody to switch over. And I remember the Libby app would always glitch whenever I tried to read anything, whenever I tried to listen to anything. And so I was like, I absolutely will not use the Libby app. And then the Overdrive app told me that they were winding down and they were officially going to be retired. And then you had to switch over to Libby. And I was very pressed about it. So I waited until literally the last minute to switch over to Libby. And I've switched over now, and I have to say, they've done a good job at revamping it because it's not nearly as problematic as it was before. So I am now, I have accepted the Libby app. I don't love it, but I have accepted it.
See, I really like it. I started using it a couple years ago, so I think probably once they ironed out a lot of the initial problems, because I think whenever you launch a new app, there's going to be issues. Again, I'm kind of a sucker for things that look pretty, and I feel like it looks pretty and it's well organized compared to my home library's app, which is very just like, here's a white background with some text on it, and here's a very small picture of the book that you can't even see. And I hate to admit, but I do shop based on covers sometimes, and I like how in the Libby app I can get a nice big picture of like what I'm going to read. But those are minor things, I guess.
Okay, I will say though, I've pulled up my Libby app for this conversation. I will say though, on the little search thing, so you know how the search thing is blue and then you type in your whatever, whatever, and then you hit the little search button.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I always do it wrong and I always hit like the little search icon before I hit the thing that I actually need to hit because it never searches properly whenever I want it to search. But I think that's just a me thing. I don't think it's on Libby, but I think maybe they need to work on how their design is so that that problem goes away.
Wait, so what happens with you?
Just know that I was always searching things incorrectly and it was not searching for things when I wanted it to search for things. That is the gist of the story. I don't know how to explain it. I just know that it happened.
Is it still happening or is this when you first started using it?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't noticed it as much lately, so maybe I've fixed it.
Another thing, I think I mentioned this before, that I love about my Libby app is my library does this thing where, like, it has its own library network, right? But then it has this little partnership with other networks in the state. So I think it's only for, like, digital stuff, so like Kindle books or audiobooks. But you can get a membership with the other networks. And so I have, like, 5 library cards on this thing. But it's great because when you search a book, it'll be like, this library has the shortest wait. And then you can just put your hold in with that card.
Oh, that's smart. But checking back into goals.
Yeah.
Another one that I had was to make art more frequently, which I feel like I do to some extent, but I think my goal was like once a month, and I don't think I make like a big piece once a month, but I do think I make at least a little drawing once a month. So I feel like that goal is going okay, but maybe not how I envisioned it, but generally okay. So that's kind of the update on that. I feel like it's also not as frequent because I have been traveling so much this summer. So a lot of the times I feel like I'm prepping to go other places or I'm trying to catch back up on household things that I like didn't get to because I was out and about. But I think it's been going okay.
I think it still counts. The last one I had written down was to be more present and focus on one thing. And I provided as an example is when I edit the podcast, I usually like put a YouTube video on or something to like keep me company. And honestly, this one's going terribly because I don't know. Sometimes you just need like some YouTube people to keep you company when you do stuff.
No, I totally feel that. That's kind of like if I'm going and I'm making art, like I will always turn on some sort of video or some sort of podcast or some music. Like I usually don't just like sit there and make things. It's that's usually too much. Unless I've been going and making things for like hours on end, in which case I'm like, I'm sick of everything. Let me just sit and make this.
And I have like specific things that I'll watch and like no insult to the people that make it. But they're like the type of things you don't have to like consistently be paying attention to, which I feel like are the perfect things for when you're doing something else.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you have any highlights of the quarter?
Yeah, I think. Well, I spent a lot of the summer going to my internship, coming home, and then recovering from my internship week, and then going back. Not recovering because it was bad, just because like it was a very long week. But at the end of it...
The commute.
Yeah. At the end of it, I went to Portland with my mom and Kyle, and that was super fun. We just like went to little shops and ate and went on a walk and that kind of thing. It was Miss Ella's first time with a cat sitter.
Aww.
Layla came and watched her, but like the whole time, I swear, I was like, is this what people with babies feel like? Because I was away and I was just like, I miss Ella. Did Layla get there yet? Is Ella okay? Oh, I miss Ella.
Dude, that's like long in the turtle. So our turtle Mo. So this summer, because I've been doing a lot of traveling and Long's been doing some traveling as well. And a lot of the times, like, if we're both traveling together, we're both out of town. So what happens is the turtle needs to get fed once a day. So I think one time we had my little brother come and watch him, but it seemed like he would always come here after work, which is kind of out of his way, because we thought that he would just like stay in the apartment and like go to work and stay in the apartment because there was a spot for him to park and whatnot, but that's not how it went. And so we decided that maybe it would be better so that we're not, you know, constantly asking people to take care of Mo, etc., to get an automatic feeder. So we have some fish and we have Mo the turtle, and we got a separate tank. So now we can separate them into different tanks so that they can each get their appropriate food. And we got two automatic feeders. And so now we have a whole setup for if we're going away, where they'll get automatically fed at certain times of the day, which is really nice. But also, I will say, like, if we're ever gone for an extended period of time, like, let's say a week, I think I'd still want somebody to check in maybe, like, once every 3 or 4 days just to be like, hey, are they still alive? Are they eating? Are they good? Because I think the longest we were gone was 4 days. And even with that, like, I know Long felt anxious and I definitely felt anxious about, are they getting fed? Is everything going okay? Like, does anything need to be charged? So it's been good, but it's also been one of those things that's, it's hard. As a pet owner, it's hard to leave your pets.
I think it's because they can't really do anything for themselves, right? I think it's like my mom once described cats as kind of like perpetual toddlers, where they're fun, they're entertaining, they'll cuddle, they're cute, but like they can't actually do anything to take care of themselves. And it's all on you and you want to make sure everything's good. That's why I wanted someone to stay with her versus someone just coming in. Also because she's not used to being home alone for too long. I was like, oh my gosh, she'd be so shocked if all of a sudden no one was here.
Yeah, I think Mo misses us when we're gone, because when we come back, he's like, oh my gosh, you're back.
Yeah.
Like, he'll come up to the glass and like hang out with us. But I think also he doesn't mind it too terribly much, because I know that like when we're home with him, sometimes he'll like jump into the water or like get a little scared if he sees us pass by. And so I think that he somewhat doesn't mind the alone time, but I think he does get a little bit bored, because I think he likes to have something to look at that's not just an empty tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you'll... If you go away, you put him in his own tank now. How's the fish? Did anybody else go missing or get eaten?
Somebody definitely did get eaten. So for Long's birthday, I had gotten him 4 or 5 new fish? 5 new fish. I'd gotten him 5 new fish and a couple of live plants. And so we put the live fish in, and I think when we were getting them acclimated to the water, we should have taken Mo out of the water, because I think he was very curious when he saw them like in the plastic bag. He was like, ooh, like there are these new things and I kind of want to touch them and like see what's going on. And so when we first put them in the water, he was chasing them like he was going to eat them. And so we were like really worried. We were like, oh my gosh, he's going to eat these fish. And so a day or two later, we noticed that there were only 4 fish and not 5, but he's left the 4 fish alone. So we have this theory. We think that if one of the fish dies for whatever reason, we think Mo will eat it because he's curious. Because he doesn't bother any of the live fish now, but at the same time, like, this is the second fish to disappear. So we're like, he's definitely eating them because otherwise, like, you know, how would they just disappear? That doesn't make sense. So we think that if a fish dies, which it's possible that one of them might have died because they might have been stressed, because whenever you put fish in a new environment, like, it's a big change for them. Sometimes they will pass away. So yeah, that's our running theory on it. Has yet to be disproven, but also has yet to be proven. So we'll see.
I had two questions. Do you have any of the original fish still? So these were just like 5 extra fish.
Yeah, they were just a couple more because, I mean, Brad was probably eaten. So RIP Brad, memorialized forever in our Mo and Fish episode. I joke about that, but I feel like I also shouldn't joke about that. That probably makes me an awful person. But yeah, we still have Chad. We still have Nikolai and Nikolaj. We still have the 3 guys that we can't tell apart. And then we still have the other one who doesn't have a name. So we still have quite a few of them. Unless, I can't remember if we got Nikolai and Nikolaj as a... I don't remember if we got them as, like, at the same time as we got the other 5. But I don't think we did. I think we got them with the originals.
So you're missing 2 now.
We're missing 2, but there's, like, I want to say 8 or 10 in there. Like, there's a good amount of fish in there. If Mo really wanted to eat somebody, he probably could. But we try to keep him well-fed. He usually doesn't bother them. He's usually a pretty peaceful turtle.
The case of the missing fish continues, I guess.
Yeah, until we see him snacking on a fish, I guess we'll never know.
What was your highlight? Did you share your highlight? I know we went down a big Mo and fish tangent.
Oh, no, I didn't share my highlight. I really enjoyed going to Seattle and going to San Diego. For the record, I went to see Long's family and I went to go see 2 of my friends from college. For the record, the only reason why going to see Leon is not on this list is because it hasn't happened yet. So that's coming up. I'm sure that would have made this list if it had already happened. But I feel like in good faith, I'm not allowed to put things on the list that haven't happened yet.
That is fair. We follow the rules in Zillennials podcast.
We do. A couple other things that were really good highlights. I got to draw on a massive canvas thing for my work, so that was pretty fun. And then also, I realized that I understood more Spanish than I thought I did, but then at the same time, I realized that I also didn't understand as much as I thought I did, which is a very interesting dynamic. Like, I could follow along with 90% of the conversation, but sometimes I would be like, I know the words you're saying, but I don't, when you put them together, now I'm confused. So overall, I was able to get the gist of most of the conversation, but sometimes I'd be like, I need that to be repeated. But I think it was also because for my work, we had this event where we had people flying in from all over. And I was grouped in with a group of people who spoke Spanish. But there were people from various different places in South America. Like, for example, people from Paraguay, people from Chile, people from Argentina, like all over the place. And so when I was listening in, I was like, I understand most of the conversation, but then sometimes I would be like, ooh, I kind of need them to repeat that thing so I can make sure that I really understood what they said. So it was a highlight, but also like a low light, if that makes sense, because I did understand, but also at the same time, there were times when I was like, I thought I would understand that, and I wish it would have been repeated.
I think part of that can be, especially when we are taught Spanish or a foreign language in general, I think we're taught a very standardized version of it, where each country will have their own slang and vernacular with it. It's kind of like when I watch a British show and they say something where I'm like, I get what you're trying to say, but I also have no idea what you actually just said. And that's literally English. So you're kind of like, well, I should understand this. But then you realize that each region just has their own terms and ways of saying things, which I think is fascinating how language works like that, where it can be the same language but be so different.
Yeah, like, for example, they were talking about t-shirts, and, like, they said it 3 different ways depending on which country they were from. And, like, one of the ways I had absolutely never heard before, and I was like, oh, that's what you're talking about. And so it was, like, kind of fun because I could figure out a couple regional terms that, like, I say regional, but it's, like, it's a whole country. Is it really regional at that point? But I could figure out a couple different ways to say the same thing that I hadn't known about previously. And so that was really fun, but also it made me realize, like, there's still so much more that I have to learn.
Yeah, it reminds me of in high school when we went to Puerto Rico, is we were all taught frijoles for beans, but they say habichuelas, and we were all just, like, so fascinated by that.
That's like, I think when I was in Spain, they said favadas. I don't know if it was, like, a specific type of bean.
So who says frijoles?
Dude, I don't know. That's like the other day. Okay, the other day I went down a Spanish TikTok rabbit hole, and sometimes I still continue to do this. And they were talking about all the different ways to say marshmallow in different Spanish-speaking countries. And I think one of them was like angelitos, like little angels. And another one of them was like something completely different. And so just depending on where you were in Latin America would depend on how you would say the term marshmallow. And it was just wild to me. I was like, this is so cool, but also this is crazy. There are so many different things that you need to know.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Challenge of the quarter. Or do you have more highlights?
Go on for your challenges.
I think one of the biggest challenge was just my commute, because it was about 50 minutes on the way there. And it ranged from an hour and 15 to an hour 45 on the way back. And I don't know. Hot take, I don't think the reverse commute exists.
Okay, I totally agree with you on that. I feel like the quote-unquote reverse commute, people always like to say, oh, it's so great, but I feel like either way, you're still slammed with traffic, so is it really that great? Because I don't think it is.
I think it's a true thing in the morning, because when I was driving north of the city, everyone else was in bumper to bumper, and I was flying like it was a normal day, but it makes up for it on the way back, because on the way back, there was absolutely no difference. Until you, like, got to a certain part and you could, like, go a normal speed at that part. But for most of it, you were in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I was like, what is this reverse commute that everyone talks about?
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, that's mine. That's all I got.
I love it. I think that that's a very true one, and one that people don't think about enough. I think for mine, I think it's just been project management for the scholarships that I work with for my work. Just because they've been causing me a lot of anxiety. So, you know, I think that that's just been my challenge for the quarter, is just like learning how to manage that anxiety and not let it get the best of me. I think that's just kind of been my challenge for the quarter. What about book reviews of the quarter? Is there a book that you liked most?
Oh gosh, is this going to be too cliche if I say Finley Donovan?
See, that's what I was worried about too, because I was like, I felt like they were all pretty good. Like, I didn't actively hate any of the books on our list.
No, which some quarters we have.
We have. I was like, all of them, I was like, yeah, I could read that again. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to say Finley Donovan. If it's true, it's true. Not my fault.
So I ranked mine. I put Finley first, Spin the Dawn second, Blueskinned Gods third. Although, honestly, I felt like Blueskinned Gods and Spin the Dawn, I felt like they could flip-flop. Honestly, even for the Finley one, I felt like maybe some of them could be really close with that. I didn't have super strong feelings where I was like, this one was definitely my favorite for this quarter.
I think for me, Finley was definitely on top, but like you said, maybe not by a lot, and definitely not as much as some other quarters for our favorite book, where it's like the favorite is all the way up here and the other ones were just like way far down. I think, like you said, it's all very close this summer. Honestly, I think Blueskinned Gods and Spin the Dawn are kind of a toss-up. I don't know if I can really pick one.
I feel like also for Spin the Dawn, now whenever I think about it, I just think about our conversation with Hadley about Hawk Boy, and now I just like, I don't know, it's just, now it's cemented in my brain, and it just makes me giggle whenever I think about it. And I don't know if that's positively impacted my rating or negatively impacted my rating, because I'm like, it makes me giggle, but I'm also like, now it does make me see that book in a slightly different light.
I think you're right, because when I was thinking about it, I think part of my, like, part of what's hard of picking which one is, I think we had such a fun time talking about Spin the Dawn, that I was like, oh yeah, like Spin the Dawn is cool. But I think I liked our conversation about Spin the Dawn more than I actually liked the book.
Yes. See, I feel like, yeah, I could see that. I don't know. Just the whole thing. I agree with you. I think it's a toss up. I think they were both fun reads.
I just love having guests, especially guests when we get to like nerd out on books. It's just fun.
Yeah, Hadley, please come on our podcast again and talk with us about books again, because that was a lot of fun. So what sort of favorites do you have from the quarter?
I think a lot of them are similar to what I've mentioned before, but I will mention a new one that I found because I think you might appreciate it. I think you would like the premise. The podcast is called Petty Crimes, and their whole premise is a true crime progress that exclusively discusses non-crimes. And so, like, I think it was one of the first episodes where the quote crime they were discussing was like someone who let their dog poop on the roof of the apartment building. And then another one is like someone who parked in an electric vehicle spot when they weren't an electric vehicle. So it's stuff like that. And it's kind of highly entertaining. And then at the end, they do like a rapid fire criminal or minimal type thing. I enjoy it. It's entertaining. It makes me laugh.
Honestly, that sounds like it'd be a good podcast. I feel like it reminds me of a podcast where they'd be like, these are the most chaotic crimes you've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I think I read, not read something. I think I heard a podcast once about how somebody stole, I want to say it was like Guy Fieri's Lamborghini, but I feel like that's totally wrong. And then just took it for like a joyride around Los Angeles or something like that. I feel like I'm totally getting the story wrong, so absolutely do not take this as fact. I'll need to find this podcast so I can like give you the actual quote on it some other day. But I feel like that gives me the same vibes as that case did, where it's just like, it just sounds like it'd have a lot of chaotic energy, which I would very much appreciate. Speaking of true crime podcasts, if you're looking for a longer true crime podcast, I would recommend the podcast Rotten Mango. I found her on YouTube first, but I think I might just switch over to her podcast platform because I never watch the video. I literally just listen. So I'm like, I might switch over. I like her videos. I think that she covers a lot of true crime, especially in Asia, that is not typically covered. It's kind of like if you listen to Eleanor Neal, she does a lot of things for like the UK and for Europe and areas like that where you might not hear those true crime stories all the time. And for Rotten Mango podcast, they work a lot with translators so that they can get stories that are not typically told, which I really appreciate. I think it's really good. The one thing I will say is I feel like sometimes she overreacts a little bit or like gets very, very emotional about things. Not to say that it's not an emotional topic. It definitely is. But I feel like she leans very hard into the emotional side of the cases, which is not my favorite. But I do, generally speaking, really like how she covers the cases. I think that she's very good. Would highly recommend.
It looks cool. I should check them out. I am slightly disappointed that the podcast art isn't a mango.
Right?
It seems like a missed opportunity to do like a cartoon mango with like a detective hat and like a spyglass.
I actually would love that. That sounds so great.
Right? You know, just in case she wants some advice from someone who's never heard of her podcast before. Unsolicited podcasting advice.
I wonder if people talk about our podcast this way. They're like, let me give some unsolicited podcast advice to Zillennials Podcast.
All 14 of our listeners.
Hey, our listeners are loyal fans. What can we say? Thank you for listening.
I appreciate that. I think in terms of favorites, similar to what you said, is I have an honorable mention because it hasn't actually happened, but the new seasons of Only Murders in the Building came out. And I am very intrigued. I think sometimes shows go on too long, and I feel like this one may be getting to the point if they go on too long, it may not get as good. But I'm very excited to see how this new season is.
Agreed. I feel like, okay, for Only Murders in the Building, I feel like the first season was really good. The second season was less good. Oh, another highlight of the quarter, which I totally forgot to mention, but feel like I should definitely mention, is my roommate Katya came to visit me, and it was a lot of fun, even though we got like rained in by a natural disaster and we almost died on our way to the conservatory, but like, it's all good. So that was a lot of fun. I'm really glad that she came to visit. I'm sorry that the weather was so poor. Yes, and Major came too. I love that dog. I don't know. I think he did, but he was also unnervingly calm when he first saw me. Where I was like, are you calm because you know me? Or are you calm because you don't like me? the actual thoughts that passed through my brain. I was like,
I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like I get irrationally upset when an animal doesn't like me.
Dude, same. I get, like, so upset. I'm like, am I secretly, like, a serial killer? Do I give off serial killer vibes? Am I just a bad person? Like, it makes me question everything about myself. I'm like, if this animal doesn't like me, they say that animals can tell. And then I'm just, like, internally freaking out. I'm like, I'm definitely a bad human being because this animal does not like me. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for our quarter in review. If you would like to join us for our next book club, that will be Woven in Moonlight by Isabel Ibanez, and that will be dropping on October 2nd.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion on our summer 2023 quarter. Also, the fact that summer 2023 is over. We got fall left. It's kind of wild. So we'd love to hear how your summer went. And if you enjoyed the episode, you can send us an email to zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're watching. And by watching, I mean listening.